Hello and welcome back to the Let's Watch podcast. I'm your host James with my co-host Carolyn.
You sound so belabored today. Hello. Mm-hmm.
It's an early Sunday morning. And this episode is us doing our Oscar major category predictions.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that people actually know about, I guess.
Oh, I thought you were going to say care about. And that's the whole scandal of them putting a bunch of the nominations and awards in the pre-show. I was like, uh-oh, we're not getting into that.
It's more of like, I think that's like pretty rude to those categories personally. And the fact that
so
they were
too.
A lot of those categories were the ones that were represented, had the most women and people of color winners as well.
I mean, that's true.
I'm sure,
and also
a coincidence.
Let's be real. It's usually like the costume like award that has a great speech that you're like, oh, who is this person? Your speech was awesome. But I mean, it's better than the year when they decided to like just cut some categories of awards. Then they eventually had to put them back in because of the backlash. But they also decided to cut some of the musical performances. And by that, I mean only the one by a trans person.
They should just cut all of the musical performances. We don't need them.
I mean, I kind of like the break in things. I understand what they're trying to do. And when I first read it, I was like, you know what? That's actually a decent idea. But then I was like, it didn't occur to me that it takes place at the same time as the red carpet. So the theater is actually like probably empty. I kind of thought all of the red carpet and all that stuff would happen first. Then all of those people would be in the room doing, you know, the awards or whatever. And they still get their Oscar moment. It is still recorded. It's just not played live, basically. So the idea is that they are going to do it like they would a normal show, but they'll record it and then they can like tighten up the endings a little bit so that it's not da-da-da-da-da, we watch them walk up and whatever. So we're still going to see these awards, like we, the audience, are going to see these awards not live, but like recorded live. And it'll just be slotted in as like part of the package. So we still get to see them and we still get to celebrate them and we still get to listen to their speeches. And the person still has their Oscar moment in that it's like, who's it going to be, you know? But I don't know the logistics of it in terms of, is there an empty house staring at them? Because that sucks. But if there's a full house staring at them, then does it really make a difference? I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
I think it's empty house, right?
That's horrible then. Okay. See, in my brain, it was not.
The broadcast starts. I think they get them in early and do it before. Otherwise, are they doing it during the ad breaks?
No, I think they're doing it during the red carpet now that I've read more on it.
That's terrible.
It is. See, I genuinely thought it was like everyone, like the celebrities all have to be there early and watch it all. Just the audience doesn't have to sit through a whole extra hour of ceremony. We still get to see everything, whatever. So I was like, this is actually a decent idea. But I've read articles since then where Jessica Chastain might boycott the red carpet because she's like, well, these people make us look the way that we look. Like, and I get it, particularly for her, because her movie, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, is only nominated for two things. One of them is her, and one of them is makeup and hairstyling. She wouldn't be Tammy Faye without that person who did the makeup and hairstyling. So I definitely get it.
Yeah, it would be a different thing if it was like, hey, these awards are getting presented during the ad breaks, and then when we come back from ad breaks, we're going to have like a condensed or like in a couple, we're going to get a condensed version, but the people still get their moment in front of the room. Because I think that's what actually people would remember. Because honestly, like, if everybody was doing it, if everybody was edited, but the room was still full, I think they would still have the same reaction, right? But if you're doing it in front of an empty room, that's just so, like, we obviously think you're worth less than the other roles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's like, this is a fucking award show about the movies. Like, all of this is stupid anyway. And it's like, what's the ultimate end goal here? Is like, they probably want a shorter condensed award show because they think that means more people will watch. Spoiler alert, that's not the reason why people don't watch.
Yeah.
There are many, many things that all of us watch that are significantly longer than 3 hours with ads.
Yeah.
On television as well. The reason why people don't watch is because none of the big movies, like the big popular movies, aren't nominated. And for like a good reason. And I agree with that as well. Is like, you shouldn't nominate the most popular stuff. Like, I think the popular Oscar award, which apparently is back, but it's like a Twitter thing now, which is also weird.
Yeah. Who is winning that at the moment?
I assume it's Spider-Man, right? It has to be.
I don't know. Does it have to be something that was already nominated?
No.
Hmm.
But like, it, the like popularity does not directly result like to quality. And like, I think that's there, but it's also, it's like, if you're giving all these awards, just put them all up there. I'll watch like a 5-hour version of this show. Like, I don't care because I want to see the awards and I want to see these people get their moments. And this whole fascination of like, we got to make it shorter and tighter. And it's like, then why don't you record everything and edit it? Why don't you record this on Saturday, then put it out on Sunday and in like in 90 minutes, if that's what your goal is.
Honestly, people live edit all the time. You could record it Sunday at noon and have it packaged up and ready to go by, you know, 5 p.m.
Yeah, so
like, they literally could do it same day to avoid spoilers and that sort of thing. So yeah, if they want it to be shortened, then cut out everyone walking or like, you know, speed it up a little, you know?
Yeah, and I understand like the fascination of like doing it live because it will be nice to see like be in live and see like the Will Smith win live and like that moment for him because he's been in our lives our entire life and he's one of the most famous people on the planet. Mm-hmm. And that will be like a good moment. But also it's like some of the stuff I remember are like the small awards of people I've never heard of and give these wonderful speeches. Like last year it was the director for Another Round that gave that, like, his speech was like 2 minutes, but it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, what if like they tried to like, why are we, that's why the whole thing of like playing people off, I think, is stupid as well. And it's this whole, it just feels like very like old Hollywood, like antiquated styling. And like, they don't really understand how to like what people actually want. Cause if you wanted to do this to make it like the new thing, just do it all on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Really. They'd be like, hold up a phone and be like, you have 60 seconds max to do this TikTok and then you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, that's my, and I know there's the awards show the night before where it's like a bunch of other categories that get in or like a bunch of other technical awards that they don't put on there. And like,
oh yeah, the technical awards show. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do expect finally, like if you and I were the head of the Academy, there would be lots of, new categories in the TV show, and then probably some get bumped back to the technical awards, fortunately, right? Because I think there's
categories that
could be added.
That's something that is really hard for them, I think, is like it's been this way for so long, and people are so noisy when they make any changes to categories or anything. So I see what they're trying to do, and they're trying to make any changes because anytime they're like, oh, maybe we can. Not televise this award, like that's not televising it is kind of the equivalent of bumping it to the technical awards because like no one watches those. I don't even know if they're televised. But like anytime someone does it, there's like uproar. And it's like all of the people involved in the films and all of the Academy and all of the audiences have opinions about what should be there and what shouldn't. But the problem is it's been like the same way for so long that any changes they try to make, literally no one will like be happy with it. And so they're kind of stuck, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think it's like also every time they've tried to make that decision, they've been bad decisions, right? I do think like if they were like, hey, we're doing like a complete refresh of some of the awards and then also maybe just televise the technical awards as well.
Mm-hmm.
You could just do that and it's like it probably won't get the ratings, but at least then it will be on television as well. That doesn't seem that hard of a deal for me. It always feels like they're always in need of new television stuff. I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I know we talked about this before in other ones as well, where it's like, yeah, they should probably have a stunt category or stunt choreography category. That just makes so much sense because then you could get all these big popular movies. And like a lot of people like stunts and those people are hard workers and they're part of the movies as well. And it's...
Well, and can you also imagine the stunt reel that they could show? It'd be so cool.
Yeah. And I personally, like, I think we agree on this, is like, I don't need the musical numbers, right? It's like we're cutting things, let's cut the musical numbers, honestly. If I want to go watch musical numbers, I'll go watch the fucking Grammys. And also it's like, do we really need like the bits with the host?
I mean, sometimes, because like imagine 3 hours of them just being like, and this person wins, and this person wins, and this person wins. Like I don't need like 10 minute bits, but segues is nice.
Yeah, or like the 30 montages of movies.
Every year there's always a couple montages that I would want to cut out. But like some years, genuinely, I really like the montages because otherwise you're just listening to speech after speech after speech. You know what I mean? But yes, every year there is always at least one or two montages that I'm like, why? Huh?
Yeah. Like I like the montages of personally, the ones I always remember is like where they get the nominees and of the acting and like directing categories and they get to talk about like the movie that mattered most to them.
Yeah.
And like why they like a movie that inspired them to like go in this career. Cause I find that like fascinating. They get to talk about it a little bit. And that's yeah. so much better than just playing like here's the clip of just a bunch of random movies. And it's like yeah. cool. Like for this year, like when it opens, they'll do like a montage of all the movies nominated, and I'll bet we'll see the old West Side Story and previous movies from people, not like maybe a bunch of Will Smith clips from other movies and stuff like that. And that kind of makes sense. But then mm-hmm. we'll have like stuff in the middle where it's just like, okay,
that's
so
the thing.
What? It's if like, it are those eventually going to turn into like Marvel because Disney's going to pay for them? Like,
yeah. And it's one of those like, if you could play this clip any year and it would still be relevant, then why are you playing the clip?
Yes, exactly. And then there's like, I just feel like there's other stuff they could cut than like those awards. And I just feel really bad for those people mm-hmm. that are nominated and will win those awards. And they're going to, it's like they lose their moment. And it's in front of an empty house is the meanest thing you could do to somebody, in my opinion. That's so rude to them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I just,
I wonder if it is in front of an empty house. I hope that there's people there.
I mean, if I was like Jessica Chastain, if I was a part of that, I would just be like, fuck the red carpet. Like, I don't give a fuck, right?
Well, that's kind of what
like,
it
it's
says.
It's much more important that I support my coworkers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially like since they were the ones who, you know, kind of helped her get the nomination.
Yeah. Does that mean, does their family and friends get to go in with them?
I mean, I assume all their plus ones would be there, you know, because they do get to bring
people,
right?
Yeah, but
people,
does that right? mean they also, do they not get to walk the red carpet then?
I don't know that they ever do. I don't think that like makeup person gets to walk the red carpet.
No, they do. They just never get stopped for interviews.
True. So maybe they walk the red carpet earlier.
It's just so. Also, do we need the red carpet segment?
No. I mean, some people do. Some people only watch this for the red carpet. You know what I mean? Like, and they talk about the dresses and the, you know.
Yeah, like I if we want to just look at the celebrities walk by and critique their fashion, sure. Do we need mm-hmm. to interview them on red carpet? No.
No, that's
those interviews
true.
Are always terrible. They're but always terrible.
But that's every event, like every film screening, everything. You know what I mean? Like every opening night party for a festival. Like the interviews are part of it because the media need their thing too.
Actually, I take that back. There's only one person I want to hear it get interviewed on the red carpet. Okay,
who?
It's K-Stew. Just only stop K-Stew, please. And her fiance.
Yes.
That's the only people we need to interview. Or let's just interview all of the movie stars like dates.
Yeah. And be like, are you proud of your boo? And they're like, oh, I just wanted the free champagne.
Or all their like their moms or dads that they bring with them. Let's interview yeah. them. Because then
so
it would just
proud.
Be proud parents and that's very wholesome.
Man, I would watch that show actually.
I know. You would just
why
be like
no
a
one
bunch
interview
of
the
parents?
Parents?
Exactly. Probably because they probably don't want it, I would assume. But some of them would just be like the most wholesome thing in the world and would make you cry. And then everyone, it would be like great clips you could have. Look at this. We're just giving them free ideas and we're not even paid by them.
Yep.
Also, yeah, please interview K-Stew and her fiance. Please.
I don't know if her fiance talks. You know? I've never seen her fiance talks.
They're going together. So I would assume we would hear them voice or maybe their laugh this time.
True.
Also, please dress K-Stew in a good outfit. I'm begging. Some of the latest ones have been bad.
Yeah, I don't know if she has say in those or what.
She must. She's like one of the most famous people in the world.
That's true. Maybe she thinks they're
what
cool.
What if she just showed up in a tux?
See, I don't think she would show up in like a black tux. I think she likes her dresses.
Fuchsia? I mean, she obviously loves fashion.
Let's talk about the movies.
No, this is more interesting to me. which I'm going to... Let's start at adapted screenplay.
Sure.
Okay, so I will read the nominees and then we will say what we want to win and then what mm-hmm. we think will win.
Mm-hmm.
So adapted screenplay nominees. I do not have the people, just the movies. So it's The Power of the Dog, Coda, The Lost Daughter, Dune, and Drive My Car.
Yep. Power of the Dog will win.
Now, The Power of the Dog will win. Yeah.
Yep.
What should win, in my opinion, is Drive My Car.
See, I was thinking that, but then I was wondering, there's not a lot of script in it. And I was kind of like, oh, maybe it's more the directing and the acting and the whole ambiance of the movie that make it successful and not the script itself. But I don't know. I would have to watch it again and particularly pay attention to the script.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, that's hard to say, right? Mm-hmm. You don't know. Like, they actually get to see the scripts. We don't. So it's hard to say, like, what's written down and what isn't. I just, like, I'm fine with Power of the Dog winning, personally.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's also a great adaptation. Actually, if any of these won, I would be fine with it, honestly. The one I think lags behind the rest is probably Coda, but I think that's just partly Coda lags behind the rest of these movies a little bit for me.
Yeah.
And I do think part of the issue I had with Coda was the screenplay.
Did you hear that Coda, I think, took home the best, the top prize at the Producers Guild Awards, the PGAs?
What?
I think so. Coda wins PGA.
I really like Coda, and I think Coda is like a really, really good film.
Yeah, it won best film at the PGAs yesterday.
Best film is insane to me. Well, to be fair, I'm lumping all producers as a whole here, but I imagine a lot of producers are old people.
Yeah.
And Coda's definitely a movie that makes you feel good and it doesn't make you think hard.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it won.
Well, I guess that's, you know, good for Coda, but I really don't want that to happen on this one.
I don't think that would will. Be... It's too late in the game.
Yeah. But like, what do you want to win?
Best picture?
No, for screenplay. Adapted.
I'm fine with Power of the Dog winning.
Yeah, like it's deserving and it's like, again, that's like a good 5 nominees for me personally. And I'm just like, sure, that sounds good to me. Like, I don't really mind who wins this one, honestly. It's, you kind of hit the right 5 if out of the nominees, that's it for me. Original screenplay is different. So the nominees are The Worst Person in the World, Don't Look Up, King Richard, Belfast, and Licorice Pizza. Now, Carolyn, what do you want to win?
None of them.
I'm with you.
It's hard to say because I've only seen 3 of them. Not Don't Look Up. That screenplay was a mess. Belfast was boring. King Richard, sure. Licorice Pizza I haven't seen, and The Worst Person in the World I haven't seen. So of the 3 that I've seen, I guess King Richard. That said, the predictions are going Licorice Pizza. You've seen that. Would you agree with that?
So that's what I think should win and will win, but I'm very conflicted about Licorice Pizza. I basically was like, I don't know if there's any of these movies I want to win this category, and it was between Licorice Pizza and King Richard for me, because I haven't seen The Worst Person in the World. My assumption is I would maybe go with that one if I've seen it, but I haven't. So I guess this can be where I do my brief little talk about Licorice Pizza.
And then, do it. Because Carolyn, it's the only category where it has a chance.
True. So I am a big fan of PTA's movies. I really like him as a director and as a filmmaker and writer and everything. I think he just makes interesting movies at minimum. I've seen most of them. Like, I love Boogie Nights. I love The Master. I love Inherent Vice. And what was the last one he did with about the dressmaker?
Phantom Thread.
And I love Phantom Thread. So I had high expectations for Licorice Pizza. And the only other movie, I guess, that of his that I was kind of in the a little messy with was the one from Magnolia.
Oh, yes.
From 1999, which was a bit messy, but there was a lot of good in it. And that's kind of where I'm on with Licorice Pizza, is that I think it is extremely well made and every technical category of this film is good. The acting is good, even though it stars basically 2 unknowns. And
yeah, I've noticed that.
The entire Haim family. Yeah, it's Philip Seymour Hoffman's son, Cooper Hoffman, and then Alana Haim from the band Haim. But my big issue with the film, and this is like hard to get past for me, and I'm going to be spoiling this, so I'm sorry to Carolyn and I'm sorry to people who haven't watched it, is the whole crux of the headphones. Film. Do you not want me to spoil? Because then I won't spoil.
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Okay. Is that it centers on a 15-year-old boy and a 25-year-old woman, and they're almost romantic. Like, it's a romantic relationship or beginnings of a romantic relationship, which is gross.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hate it already.
Yeah, and if you flipped the genders of the leads, this movie can't get made. So it's disgusting. Seems like not, and it's like the movie.
This is not the right era for this film.
No, but it's conflicting because there's still so much in there. And it's like, it doesn't really know. You don't know for the whole movie where it's going. And I still think it's worth watching. But this whole thing of like the movie does end with them like kissing, essentially.
Gross.
And like,
James, how do you essentially kiss? Tell me that.
They kiss. Okay. It's fine. You know, it's there. But it's just like, if this movie, and what I was hoping it to be is it like this 15-year-old boy who has a crush on this 25-year-old woman, which is fine. And then it's like their relationship, like friendship and like trying to do a business together because they're both like hustlers essentially. And they're trying to like make it. And it's like he has a crush on her and she's just like, no, the whole time. But it's like it revolves into like a friendship and then they both grow together. Like you can do that. But that then at the end, it goes back to like, no, like this is she wants to be with him and he's 15. And I just don't. What do you do with that? Like, that's just what the fuck. And then there's another tiny moment where like a character in it felt like me. It was being played for humor. But I could see how it could be like it wasn't played for humor. It was just supposed to show this character is an idiot, that this white man was doing like mock Asian accents. And it felt like to me like that was supposed to be a moment you laugh at. And they do show that character as being a buffoon and an idiot, but there's no consequences for that character. And this movie takes place in the 70s. I get it. But you're still showing that and you're playing it for humor. And it's a little gross.
Well, and also bit not 2021.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's really conflicted because every like technical thing in this movie is very well done. And I kind of can see, other than that character who does the Asian accents is in like two scenes. Other than that, the relationship stuff is like complicated and interesting. It's just the end of the movie completely like undercuts everything else for me for that.
Do you think it should be nominated for Best Picture?
Out of the 10, or could I have any 10?
I mean, out of this 10, like in a year where Don't Look Up is nominated for Best Picture, do you think Licorice Pizza also deserves to be there?
Yeah. If Don't Look Up's nominated, then fucking put in whatever you want.
The Cinderella movie.
I when we get to like Best Picture, like Licorice Pizza isn't in the bottom two for me.
Yeah.
Because I do think there's still a lot of good in the movie. It's just it's not like the end of this isn't like definitive they're in a relationship, right? It's just
they just kissed.
It ends with them, they just kissed, and like their relationship.
But when you're 15, that is a relationship.
I know. And it's like, again, if you wanted to center it around a 15-year-old who has a crush on an older woman, that's okay. But when the older woman acts on it, like even if the older woman is like flirting with him to get him to do what she wants, that's fine with me as well, right? As long as there's no like returned intimacy.
Yeah, well, a little boy can do whatever he wants, right?
Yeah, and but if this was a 25-year-old man and a 15-year-old woman or 15-year-old girl,
then it would be not okay at all. Yeah.
So it's not okay for the opposite either. Like, you have to have the same standards here. And I just think this is a movie that doesn't have the same standards. It's kind of wearing up on it. But Cooper Hoffman and Alana Haim are great in the movie. Like, they sell it. And he actually looks like a teenager because he is 18. So.
Oh, well, there we go.
And he does look like his dad. It's really weird. He has the same hair as his dad. And it's very weird. Yeah.
Cooper Hoffman.
He doesn't have the voice. And I don't think he's as good at an actor. But that's, like, almost impossible for somebody to be that good. But that's my stuff on Licorice Pizza. If Carolyn watches it, maybe we'll talk about it more, but that's kind of where I end up on it.
So you think yes to the win for this?
I do think it will win this, and I do think I do think it is probably the best script, but it is a little gross. If not, then it would be King Richard, but I don't think, I think Belfast and Don't Look Up don't deserve to be in the category personally, and I can, like, I don't think Licorice Pizza should be there either. But I can see why it got there.
Okay, so that's our screenplays. Next, should we hop into the actings?
Yeah, do you want to start with the supporting men or women?
Do it. Let's say men. Since Coda just had its weird PGA win, James, who will win? Who should win?
Okay, first of all, the nominees are...
Oh, yes.
J.K. Simmons, Jesse Plemons, Ciarán Hinds, Cody Smith-McPhee, and Troy Kotsur. Now, who is going to win is Troy Kotsur.
Mm-hmm. Though, Troy Kotsur had a late-in-the-race surge, basically, before the last couple things. I think he won the SAG, but before he did that, it was looking like Cody Smith McPhee was going to be the winner. So now people are saying it's probably going to be Troy Ketzer, but if anyone were to upset that, well, I wouldn't even call it an upset. It's a close race with Cody Smith McPhee, basically.
Yes. I think Cody Smith McPhee should win this,
in my opinion.
Yeah. I think his Troy performance out of this. You think, yeah, I think it's very close, but I just think I liked Cody Smith McPhee's performance a little bit more than Troy Kotzer's. But I think emotional dad
better than I like goth child, you know?
Murder goth child?
Yeah, like murder cowboy goth child.
Again, like if Troy Kotzer wins this, I agree, it creeps me out too. But if Troy Kotzer wins this, like it's fine. You're good as well.
Yeah. I thought he was
Because he is great in that movie, and he deserves the award. This is one where it's like, there's multiple people I want. Like, these two I both want them to win, but only one can win.
Yeah. And it will be Troy. Maybe. And or Cody.
I hope they don't play him off, right? They do have a chance.
Yeah. They're usually a bit better with... They're not better with the supporting actors.
No. And they generally play off minorities faster than...
Do you know why that is, though? It's because the minorities are not as big of celebrities. They will let Leonardo DiCaprio talk for as long as he wants. You know?
Yeah. And Troy Kotzer, like, the supporting actor and actress are, like, usually at the top of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he'll give a great speech. And hopefully it is... hopefully it's a good... Like, hopefully they give him enough time to do it. And
well, they better, because he won't be saying it in English. So there will need to be time for a translation.
Yeah. And it'll be a great moment with the cast as well, because mm-hmm. he seems pretty beloved by everybody. And I just... Yeah.
Well, and that whole cast is just so excited to be in all these nominations and everything like that. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah, and he's the best performance in the movie, and he's a great actor. And again, this will be most likely his only ever chance to win. It shouldn't be, but it will most likely be.
Yeah, just with the number of roles that there is for deaf folks.
Yeah, I will be very happy when Troy Kotzer wins. Now, the supporting ladies.
Yes.
Since I assume you think Kotzer is should and will.
Yes.
So the supporting ladies, Ariana DeBose, Kirsten Dunst, Anjanae Ellis, Jessie Buckley, and Dame Judi Dench.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who do you think should win?
You know, I struggled with this one because, I mean, we'll talk about it, but I have feelings about West Side Story. And I've been seeing that Ariana DeBose is favored to win and has been kind of the whole time. And I'm like, but West Side Story wasn't good. But she was the best part of it. And also, I think about it closer and I'm like, I'm not actually crazy about this category this year. Normally, Best Supporting Actress is the best category of the year. Every single performance is like, wow, stunning powerhouse.
It's not this year.
It is not. There is no like meaty supporting roles in this category this year.
Yeah, the ones nominated. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 in this category. So I was kind of like, who should win? Jessie Buckley, maybe? But then I was like, am I only saying that just because I liked the movie and because I like Jessie Buckley? Or am I saying it because of the performance? And I don't know the answer to that. And then I read something about like Ariana DeBose and how, like why she should win. And it was basically like, she sings, she dances, she is like the moral compass of the film, she acts, she kind of does it all. Whereas a lot of the other characters, since it's not a meaty year, they don't have a whole lot to do. Like Judi Dench plays a grandma. Okay, well done, Judi. You know,
there's not much there in that character, to be honest.
No, and there's not much there in a lot of these characters. So should win. I want to say Jessie Buckley, but again, I don't know if that's just because I like Jessie Buckley. And I honestly, thinking about it deeper, I would not be mad if Ariana DeBose wins, which she will, because she had the most to do. That's the only of the characters in this. That's the only like supporting character that was actually really supporting, like, because she kind of is better than the main characters, you know?
So I disagree.
Really?
On a fair amount of that. I do think Ariana DeBose is the best part of West Side Story.
Mm-hmm.
I have issues with her character, not with her performance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she's going to win this. And that's fine. I hope she gets to do stuff in significantly better films than this movie. And I agree with Judi Dench that there's not much there. And it's like, hey, we brought Judi Dench out. And Anjanae Ellis is kind of the same thing. She has that one great scene, but her character's not really there.
Yeah, I liked her a lot too. And I wanted to put her, but then I was like, I don't really remember her in most of the movie.
No, she's mostly in the background. And she's great when she gets a chance, but it's not her movie. Mm-mm. And she's a very tiny character, unfortunately. I think Jessie Buckley's great in The Lost Daughter, but I agree with what you said there is that, do I just like Jessie Buckley?
Yeah.
Because she's, I've never seen her been bad. So
no.
And I do think she's one of the better performances in that movie, but she's also not, like, it's, I think she should be nominated for this category, but I don't think she should win. Is kind of where I'm at with her. Is like, even if the other people were changed, like, I think it's right place for her, but not to win.
Mm-hmm. Are you going Kirsten Dunst? Is like,
yeah, she's a huge part of that movie and she's really good in it. And
you know what?
Maybe you could argue that she should be in the lead.
You know what? I feel like I saw that movie too long ago. You know, like West Side Story, I watched last week. Power of the Dog, we watched like several months ago at this point, you know?
Yeah, we watched Power of the Dog like months ago. And if her parents didn't last for you, then that's valid.
Yeah, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking of her just like with her sad face looking sad, you know? And I remember various conversations about Jesse Plemons, how he's not really in much of the movie. And I kind of in my brain kind of decided that about Kirsten Dunst too. But now that I'm thinking about it, you're totally right. She is not just that. I don't know why I'm just seeing the same face in my head.
She's like the co-lead and her performance is great. And the reason why that movie worked for me so well is because she was just as good as Cumberbatch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I went with Kirsten Dunst. Now, I think she should kind of be in Best Actress, honestly, really. Yep. But, you know, category fraud, whatever. And I just found her performance out of all of these. Also, it's like, this is how they do stuff in the Oscars is like this. It's time. Like Kirsten Dunst has been really, really good in a lot of films. And I just think she should win this because I think it's the best performance out of the five. But mm-hmm. It's going to be Ariana DeBose, and that's fine. But Kirsten Dunst's Power of the Dog is, I think, leagues above the rest of these performances, in my opinion. At least from the point, like, there's stuff to do.
Yes, there's stuff to do, and she did it well.
Yeah, but it will be Ariana DeBose because, you know,
it's been here the whole time.
new ingenue. And that's what they do for the supporting actress. Now, let's do the men first as well.
Mm-hmm.
For actor.
Mm-hmm. Who we got?
The nominees are Javier Bardem, Denzel Washington, Andrew Garfield, Ben D. Cumberwub, and Will Smith. Now, I think we are probably both in agreement that Will Smith is going to win this.
Yes.
Who should win, though?
Will Smith.
I agree.
Yep.
It's
Bandersnatch.
He's so good in that movie.
Is good as well, but he just has a lot less to do, and also his face really freaks me out. Will Smith. I know as Fresh Prince, and this was no Fresh Prince. He like disappeared into the role when I really, within the first 10 minutes, thought he would not. And by the end of it, he was really good. And I, you know what? The more I think about it, the more I actually enjoyed that movie a lot too. And a lot of it was because of him.
Yeah, and we both had the assumption going into King Richard that this was going to just be like Will Smith being Will Smith a little bit, and they're like, hey, the movie's good. It's time to give Will Smith an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that. He's got a very nuanced and...
Yeah, he's really good, so it's time to give Will Smith an answer.
Yeah, like powerful performance that isn't just Will Smith doing Will Smith. Like there's Will Smith bits in there, but it actually is like a... And he's doing a voice and changed his posture, but it's more than that. Like, it's not just like, I'm capital A acting. He's actually just acting.
Yeah.
And Cumberbatch is close for me because there is. And I think, other than Javier Bardem, which neither of us have seen, the other four of these performances are all great.
Yeah.
But I think Will Smith is the right pick, honestly. Like, if any of the... Like, if Denzel won, then, like, fuck yeah, it's Denzel. And Andrew Garfield is the best part of a deep, like, an okay movie. And Benedict Cumberbatch is I made me think he was a good actor, and I was not in on Benedict Cumberbatch. And I saw this movie, and I was like, wait, this man can act?
Yeah.
And it's just, but Will Smith is, it's just, it's, you know, you see this, I like to say this all the time, is like, you see something and you're like, oh, this is the one for this category, so obviously. And it's very rare that the Oscars line up with that. And I legitimately think he's one of the best performances of the year as well.
Yeah, I agree. And like, and he surprised me, and that counts for a lot.
Yeah, like if we're including performances or movies that are like performances that are not nominated, then I don't know if I would go with Will Smith.
Who are you thinking?
But out of the nominated, I think I would take the lead from Drive My Car, probably.
Mm, okay, yeah, that's fair.
But it's close. It's close. Mm-hmm. But I think this is just, he deserves it. It's not like a, hey, you've been famous for a really long time and you did a great performance. It's like, no, he just did a great performance. And
yeah, he's not owed it. He's earned it, basically.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he'll give a great speech. And I love Will Smith. Who doesn't love Will Smith?
That's also true.
Also, he's going to be, true. He's going to have, the whole family's going to be there.
The Smith clan.
So the ladies, best actor.
Yeah, speaking of earned it.
Yes, yeah, speaking of earning it, or, you know, it's time. So the nominees are Penelope Cruz for Parallel Mothers, Olivia Colman for The Lost Daughter, Nicole Kidman for that Sorkin film or whatever, Kay Stew, our beloved, mm-hmm. as Princess Diana, and then Jessica Chastain as Tammy Faye.
So this category, there's actually a lot of good performances in this category. A lot of biopic performances as well.
three people playing people, and then two not.
Yep.
Now,
this category is an interesting one because
it's very close.
It is very close, and a lot of things that I've been reading are saying different things. The problem that makes it hard to predict is that a lot of people really like Kristen Stewart, but she hasn't been nominated for the key ones that you need to be nominated for. So therefore, obviously, she hasn't won them. But
you just have no idea on her. Like, it's just
exactly,
so hard to tell.
Exactly. That said, no actress has ever won the Oscar after missing a SAG nomination. And she did miss a SAG nomination. To which I ask, do people just hate her still? Like, I wonder if she's maybe not approachable in the biz. Like, she kind of doesn't hang out on a lot of
But she's big running.
Yeah, but she doesn't hang out with, like, big Hollywood films and things like that. So she maybe doesn't have a huge network in the business.
Is it because she's gay?
I don't think so, because so is Jodie Foster. Though Jodie Foster wasn't for a large portion of her career. I honestly think it's because she does tiny indie art films.
French movies.
French movies. Yeah, exactly. And like,
okay, but who amongst us does not want to have sexual tension with Juliette Binoche?
I mean, that's also true.
Are they just jealous of her?
But that's the thing. I think that a lot of these other nominees are very beloved.
Classical nominations.
Yes. And they're very beloved in their communities, and like, a lot of like big Hollywood blockbustery films and have been around for a long time and that sort of thing. So I'm wondering if it's that. I'm wondering if that's why she's the underdog, because people still either think of her as Twilight or haven't been able to get to know her since. They may be like, I like your performances and stuff, but I still don't know you as a person. You know what I mean? She doesn't seem the most outgoing.
Yeah, I think – I don't know an answer to this, but my guess, I'll just guess for this, is that the Kay Stew got a lot of shit for the Twilight movies, and same with Robert Pattinson, and it was not their fault. Those are bad movies with bad scripts.
But then there was the like cheating scandal with the director and things like that. It got real messy for a while.
Yeah, but that's bad. Also, it's like, that's grosser when you think about it, right? Because she was a young woman and the director is in a position of power over her.
And he was significantly older than her, yes.
Yes. But she's still fucked up. But she's apologized for that.
But I also get it, because it's like, she was queer and not out, so she was deeply confused, and someone took advantage of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and she was also 23. And I also think it's that she doesn't really play the press game, because she is a very, like, private person, and she does not care, I think, about being like, I don't think she ever really, like, obviously she wanted to be famous because she mm-hmm. did the Twilight movies, but then I think she's like, actually, this isn't that great. I kind of just want to act because that's what I actually like doing.
She loves it.
And she's kind of become more of like a like cool person than like Will. I love Will Smith, but Will Smith is kind of lame, right? Like, he's not cool. Whereas Kristen Stewart is like, is cool.
Will Smith used to be cool.
And like, Will Smith is kind of,
for so long.
Yeah, but Will Smith is kind of cringe, right? And cringe isn't a bad thing, but he's kind of cringy and corny.
Yeah.
But he is, but it's still, it's his whole, it's his thing, right? And it's still, you still, I still like him, but he, that's what he is. He used to be, but now he's just an old, he's just a dad. He just like progressed into dadding. Mm-hmm. And I think K-Stew is very much like a film fans person, and like critics love her, right?
And the Oscars and are not. Other people appreciate, like, imagine working in the business with someone as such, who you appreciate their talent, you think they're very talented, but like, you have to play the game of shaking hands and kissing babies and, you know, doing whatever, and you watch someone else who's not playing the game, it kind of makes you mad, you know?
And then is like beloved by audiences for it. Like, Kristen Stewart has like a, like a lot of people dislike her, but she's like, on the internet now, like, most people like K-Stew and R-Pats, right? Like, it's kind of like the thing is to be like, yeah, we like both of them, even though they came from that shitty franchise. Mm-hmm. Now, it's going to surprise nobody that Carolyn and I both picked K-Stew to should win. because should. We can't not.
Yeah.
Although, I actually have no idea who will win this. I picked Chastain to will win, but it's so close. I wouldn't be surprised if it was any of the... other than Penelope Cruz. Like, a Penelope Cruz one would be like, whoa.
Yeah, no, she won't win. But here's the thing. It's very close between all of them, depending on what you read. Some things that I'm reading lean more Chastain, Kidman. That said, Kidman, Cruz, and Coleman have all won. So if the Academy, which they usually do, is going to go with like, oh, you're overdue, it's going to go to Jessica Chastain.
Coleman's won twice, right?
I think so. She's been nominated like... 3 times in 4 years or something like that lately.
Yeah, and Kidman has an Oscar already. Chastain doesn't, right?
Nope, exactly. So Kidman, Cruz, and Coleman have Oscars. Chastain and Stewart do not. That said, no one's going to say that Kristen Stewart is overdue for one. People will say that Jessica Chastain is overdue though. For one.
But yeah, but Chastain's been nominated way more than K-Stew. And it does feel like it's... almost like time. I also like, honestly, Mike, if you had to tell me who I like I think Chastain will win, but if you had to tell me who I think is gonna upset her, I think it's gonna be Kidman.
I think so, and I honestly don't think it would be an upset, because Kidman's playing the exact type of role that people like to see.
Capital A acting.
Yeah, look at those eyebrows. Also playing a real character. And like, if we've learned anything, and this is mostly for Best Picture, but it does go across all categories, what people like is wartime dramas, race relation pictures, movies about film industry, because, you know, circle jerk, things based on a true story, ding, 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 and scripts from award-winning novels. In this category, we have 3 characters that are based on real people, and then Olivia Colman's character is based on a novel. I know nothing about Parallel Mothers, so I can't say where that came from.
It's a Pedro Almodovar film, and I think it's like a love letter to... the women that raised him.
That's every film of his, but...
Yep, they're all good. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Are we insulting this beloved gay Spanish man? What is happening?
No, I like his stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
I legitimately don't know for this category, but I just want it to be K-Stew. So can we just make it K-Stew for everybody, please?
The problem is, I think it won't be. But I know that, man, I know that on my Oscar ballot, I'm going to put down K-Stew because this is a category where I have to. But that said, she will lose and I will lose the point and I will be sad.
Yeah. But again, it's up in the air. I could also, Olivia Colman wouldn't be a surprise, but are we really going to give Olivia Colman 3 Oscars so quickly?
Has one so far, but yes, I agree with that entirely.
But that's kind of how this works, right? Like, sometimes actors win 2 really close together. Like, Mahershala Ali won 2 within, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
And it was weird that he won the second one. It's like, why? That's weird. That's, like, he was good in that movie. He was the only good thing in that movie for the second one. But it was like, this is strange that we just decided to give him 2 so quickly to get close together.
Well, the Oscars were trying to say they weren't racist at that moment.
That really
they've
worked
given
out
up
for
that
them.
Now.
So Best Director.
Yeah.
The nominees for Best Director are Jane Campion for Power of the Dog, Steven Spielberg for West Side Story, Kenneth Branagh for Belfast, Ryusuke Hamaguchi for Drive My Car, and Paul Thomas Anderson for Licorice Pizza. Now, I think who will win is Jane Campion. I think that's like almost assuredly going to happen.
She will, yes.
Yeah. And I think she deserves it, although maybe she should work on her speeches a little bit.
Yes.
Maybe don't insult Venus and Serena Williams. It's some advice, Jane. Maybe
yeah,
don't
that was
insult
rough.
Other.
That was rough.
Don't insult other women. In the way that you did is very boomerish. Let's just
say.
Well,
I also just find it funny that it's like, why are we fighting our allies here? You know, instead of being like, oh man, men are the one who make us, you know, have to fight tooth and nail beside them. It's like, yeah, blame the other women. Yeah, do that.
Yeah, and Serena and Venus Williams have never had to fight men in their lives.
Never, nope.
Like, shut the fuck up, really. yeah. She did apologize to them
and
publicly, but yeah, she still said it. Like, it's not great.
You think she
now,
should win?
Who I,
you do.
No, I don't.
No.
Oh. I think she, out of these five, she's second for me.
Okay.
But I think who should win is Ryusuke Hamaguchi, because it's going to be no surprise that where I'm going to put that in the best picture rankings, but that's where I land on it.
Yep. I agree. And I, like I said, in the, when we were talking about the script category, I don't know if it was the script that I loved or the acting that I loved, but I did love the direction. And I think to have a 3-hour movie where not a whole lot of plot happens, and then it's all about the intricacies of the characters and the emotions, you need a good actor to lead that. Or sorry, you need a good director to lead that.
You do. And it's like Drive My Car for me is a 3-hour movie that was more engaging completely than The Power of the Dog, which is like just over 2. But there was a couple of moments in Power of the Dog where I was like, okay, this is a little, I don't care.
It was a bit boring, or, yes.
it was a bit boring in parts. But when you explain it, it's definitely sounds more exciting than Drive My Car, but I was enraptured with Drive My Car the whole time. And that's where I end up there. And I don't think it's going to surprise people. I assume, I don't know Carolyn's ranking for Best Picture as well, but I think we'll probably have it in the same spot.
Well, let's find out. What are your rankings for Best Picture?
Okay, so I'm going to go from 10 to 1, starting with 10, which the one is I haven't seen, so I'm just putting it not ranked, which is Nightmare Alley. I haven't seen Nightmare Alley, so I can't rank it, but it's the one I haven't. It's just there for me.
That's fair. Do you want mine?
And yours, Carolyn, yeah, it would be Licorice Pizza, because she hasn't seen it either. So
yeah, exactly.
So my 9th. Big surprise here, everybody. Big surprise. West Side Story.
Oh, West Side Story. You like Don't Look Up better than West Side Story?
Hey, I said what I said. Fuck West Side Story. If you're asking me, the way I did this is like, which movie? I also was like, which movie will I watch again before? Mm. And I put West Side Story in the bottom because I hate that film.
Yep. That's fair.
And what's
my last, I had it, I didn't care to think about it too deep. I didn't want to spend more brain power on these two films. Mine was kind of a tied West Side Story, Don't Look Up. I went back and forth on both of those. You recall from the podcast, I had a lot of fun watching Don't Look Up. But I do think that was situational. Just because I had fun doesn't mean I think that it should win Best Picture. You know?
Yes. Yeah. And my 8th is Don't Look Up. So
yeah,
we're
and like
it's
West Side Story,
it's the same 2 for our bottom.
I mean, we're gonna do a whole podcast on West Side Story, but there are things that I liked about it in terms of like production design and things like that. So
it does have good production design, and like Don't Look Up has good special effects.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of like everything else in those movies.
what is your what's your number seven?
Belfast.
Same.
Okay, yeah, we're getting the trash at the bottom. Hello.
Number 6?
Licorice Pizza.
Yeah, see, I thought it might be, based on what you said, I haven't seen Licorice Pizza, so for me it's Coda.
Oh, where's Nightmare Alley?
Right above Coda.
Okay, so your 5 is Nightmare Alley, my 5 is Coda.
Yeah, So I let me know once you've seen Nightmare Alley if you do think it's better than Coda. I liked the production. It's what a weird movie. But it's a movie that I think about frequently. I came out of it being like, did I like that? But it's a movie that I still think about. And I saw this months and months ago. And it's a movie that the production design and everything is just so, I mean, disgusting, but also really fascinating. And Coda is just too fluffy around the edges, like comparatively. So that's why I have them that way.
Yeah, Coda is a fluffy around the edges movie. And I would want to see Nightmare Alley. I will watch it. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't going to spend 2.5 hours at 10:30 at night to watch it.
Not so much.
And then wake up at 8 a.m. to do this podcast. I was like, nah, it's not nominated for much. I can skip that one for right now. What is your number four?
Dune.
Ooh. First of all, how dare you? Please put that higher. I'm ending the podcast unless you put that higher.
Where,
as the
though?
One person. Wow. You know I have edit control, so I can just change them, right?
Like, yeah, you'll just space. Be like, and Dune is number one. Yeah.
Wow, our lists are the same. My number four is King Richard.
Interesting.
Yes. Now, I do think these four are a clear cut above the rest.
Yeah, I would also draw the line in the sand there.
Now, why did you put Dune 4?
It was really friggin' long.
Yes, there's a movie that's longer, though.
Yeah, but better also.
Yeah, I won't. I honestly thought you would put Dune higher. I'm surprised King Richard is higher than Dune. I thought we would be, like, in the same place for King Richard.
Oh, no, no. I think I like King Richard better than you think I did.
Yeah, I don't really remember your opinions.
You tune them out. You use yeah, them I'm as like vehicles to say your own.
Whenever we agree, I remember. When we disagree, I'm like, well, I was right. No, that's very interesting to me. What is your three?
Power of the Dog.
Same. I have Power of the Dog as three as well.
Yeah, I put King Richard as number two. I really liked it, and I think largely because it surprised me. Dune also surprised me, which tells you how good I thought it was going to be. Power of the Dog did not surprise me.
It please don't exactly be snarky when I'm drinking be. Water and almost make me spit water on my microphone, okay?
Power of the Dog is exactly what mean. I thought it would be. So it was good. It just, you know, it didn't surprise me or whatever. I like the way it looked and that sort of thing. But King Richard, man, I've been in this phase where I need movies to have a little bit more going on. And King Richard had more going on. And it kept me interested the whole film. Power of the Dog did not keep me interested the whole film. My brain wandered a little bit. I liked it, but my brain wandered.
I am honestly surprised from our difference of opinion on Power of the Dog that we have it in the same position.
Yeah.
Is that I like that movie more than you, but that it still ends up as three for both of us.
Well, because I liked King Richard more than you.
I did, but I almost put King Richard above Power of the Dog. I was like, that's really close. I think like 4-2 for me are like all like any order I could see myself putting them in someday. Mm-hmm. One will always be one, but 4-2, I think like if I put King Richard 2 and then I'd be like, yeah, some days I might feel like that. Cause it did like you, it surprised me. And that movie is, there's so much more to that movie than I was expecting.
Yep.
And how it's like it felt like a real honest portrayal of who this man was.
That's what I liked, is it's really nuanced and subtle. And there's a lot actually going on in there, but it doesn't feel overcrowded.
Exactly. I agree with that. And I just think the highs of Power of the Dog for me were higher than the highs for King Richard. And that's why I put it above. And it's obviously no surprise the amount I've talked about Dune that I put Dune 2. Because that movie is just like James Meth.
It is.
It would be like, that's basically what I want every movie to be in my life. It's like, just inject that into my veins, please. So it's like, I can't be like, our Power of the Dog and King Richard as total movies more consistent than Dune? Yes. Are they better? No.
Fair enough.
You know what makes Dune better? Jason Momoa's fight scenes.
I mean, yes.
Everyone going, Paul. The amount of quotes I remember from that movie, and I don't remember quotes, it has to be two for me.
Yeah, that's fair. You liked it. But I don't know. I always have a hard time evaluating more traditional, like, blockbuster-y type movies alongside kind of indie things. That's not to say they're not just as good. I have a difficulty evaluating them the same way because I think about them in very different ways.
Yeah, I agree with that too. And I just, partly why I feel like I want to put Dune so high personally is because that's what I think blockbusters should aim to be. Mm-hmm. I find it so much more interesting than a lot of other blockbusters. And maybe that's why I'm putting it up higher, is because I was expecting going into being like, well, worst case scenario, it's going to just be like a generic Marvel formula thing, really. Yeah. And then it wasn't. It was so much more for me. And I do think I expected a lot more from Power of the Dog. And I expected nothing from King Richard, honestly. I was kind of dreading to watch that film. But, but it was good. It's a great movie. And has one of the best performances of the year in it.
And he will win.
And he will win. Now, it's no surprise to anybody who's ever listened to any one of our podcasts that Carolyn and I have the same number one, and it's a foreign film, Drive My Car. It's just leagues above these 10, even as much as I love Dune and I like King Richard and Power of the Dog. Like, Drive My Car is so much better than all of these films, in my opinion.
But the thing is, Power of the Dog is going to win.
It is going to win. Power of the Dog is going to win. Yeah.
And normally for Best Picture, I always have to go with my heart and not my head. But this year, I think I'm going to have to go with my head because nothing has given indication that Drive My Car will win.
I think Drive My Car is, like, other than Nightmare Alley, as the second longest odds.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the only movie that could really upset Power of the Dog. Actually, I think it's two that could set Power of the Dog. Coda, because it won the PGA,
which is
and I could see King
absurd.
it is absurd because that's the movie they picked other than Power of the Dog, and the other one I could see would be King Richard.
Yes, but I haven't even heard that much buzz for it.
No, just because that movie has so much SAG love that it could get there. But I just think it's Power of the Dog. I don't even really think it's, like, if anything other than Power of the Dog, I would be shocked. Like, actually, like, what the fuck? It would be so surprising to me.
Any movie would be an upset this year.
Yes. So that's, I don't have much to say about that because it just feels it's already locked up. The most interesting race is Best Actress.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think it would be screenplays. Everything else feels kind of locked in my opinion.
Yeah, and even the technical categories are pretty locked this year. The only thing that I have an issue with, will Flea win nothing? Because this upsets me a lot.
I don't think it... I think I honestly thought it was going to win Doc. Like, International is going to go to Drive My Car, which is the right decision. Animated, I've Encanto. Only seen Flea, but it will go to one of Encanto. The Pixar movies.
Yeah.
Sorry, which one did you say?
Encanto.
Which, from all accounts, is a great movie, but I just haven't seen it, so I don't know. And Doc, like, is the favorite is Summer of Soul, which is also a movie I really, really liked. But it just feels like that is getting picked because it's American.
It's American, and it's race relations, which the Academy loves.
Yeah,
and it's
Flea,
not
though?
Too heavy, which the Academy loves. And
it makes you feel hopeful.
It does. And it also, like, is relevant. I mean, race relations will always be relevant in the States. And the thing is, I don't know, Flea is super relevant because of the Ukraine situation and that sort of thing. But I'm wondering if people, first off, it's really depressing. And I think maybe when the news is depressing, you don't want to watch a film that says, and also me. But I also think some people only see the war and don't really realize, well, not realize, but don't think about the refugee situation. And since it's a movie that's not directly about that, I think maybe some people will miss those connections. You have to see the movie to realize the connections, basically.
Yeah. Now, the Best Doc is weird. Like, they don't generally, they kind of just do what they want, honestly. Like, I don't remember, like, there's been many times where it's like, oh, this movie's going to win Best Doc, and then it doesn't. You're like, wait, what? They kind of just pick what they want to pick. So it's like, and it's close between Flea and Summer of Soul. It's like, the odds don't really know. To be honest,
well,
like,
the problem
think Summer of Soul
with Best Doc is that I was speaking to a documentary filmmaker about it, and I've mentioned this before, but documentary filmmakers have their opinions of what should win, and whatever wins, the documentary filmmakers are kind of like, yep, and that's where you can see that it's not just us voting, you know?
Yeah.
You can tell that it's people who don't make docs that are voting.
Yeah, if you told me, like, my ideal version of, like, the three categories Flea is in and how they break out is Drive My Car wins International, Summer of Soul wins Doc, and then Flea wins Animated. So then all of the movies that I like get an Oscar.
Yep.
Plus, picking Flea as Animated would be, like, the first time that an animated movie has not been going to, like, Disney or DreamWorks.
Yeah, don't bet on bet against Pixar, right?
Yeah, and it's just like, I unfortunately think Flea's gonna end up with nothing, and that's a shame. But that's a failing of the Oscars, that they didn't put it in enough categories. And that they don't
treat docs like... I mean, it was more categories than has ever been in.
I know, but they don't treat docs like...
films?
Like, docs never get nominated for Best Picture. And they should be. Like, it's Summer of Soul and Flea better than some of the movies nominated for Best Picture? Yes. Mm-hmm. So much better. And docs are popular. Like, they've gotten popular recently. Like,
they've gotten really popular, yeah.
Got made so much money at the box office. Like, if any doc was going to get nominated for Best Picture, it should have been Free Solo to be, like, the first one through, because it made so much money. Like, that's what the Oscars want.
Well, Summer of Soul is, like, a big Disney film. Like, it's, that's been at all the drive-ins. Like, that's a pretty big movie, too.
Plus, Questlove is running.
Yeah.
And he's a very charming man, and it's also a great film. So, I won't be upset about Summer of Soul winning for Best Doc, because I think it's deserving.
Yeah, it won't be so much upset about that as upset that Flea will not win.
Yeah, and they should give Flea Best Animated, because that how it will work out the best for those categories that Flea is in.
But alas.
But that's our Oscars, unless there's anything else you want to rant about.
No, I've gotten off my soapbox.
Okay, so you can find me everywhere on the internet at James Willicks, except on Twitter, the O's a zero. And you can find Carolyn and the 3,000 pictures of Kay Stew at the Oscars.
Depends on if I like her outfit. At CarolynDunk93 on all the platforms.
But conveniently, it will only be Kay Stew. Her date will be left out.
What date?
What date? Exactly. It's you. So I hope everybody, like, this will come out on the Thursday before the Oscars, so I don't even know if there's a host this year. Like, I have just feel like I there have not is. Been paying attention to the actual, like...
There is three hosts. There's no main host, but they basically have, I think, three people hosting three different chunks of it to kind of, like, refresh the energy through each third of the broadcast. And I believe it is Wanda Sykes.
Okay.
That's Amy good. Schumer. And Regina Hall.
Hmm. Okay, 2 out of 3 is not bad.
And what's good about that is I think they want to cut a lot of the big host monologues. They have someone else people popping in throughout to kind of keep things moving along and keep the energy high.
Yeah, like the thing I should have said at the cutting thing is we don't need like the 10-minute or the comedian's best 10 minutes making fun of people at the beginning. It's like, I legitimately don't give a fuck. Can we just get to the awards?
Yeah, and the thing is, I think that these three ladies will do a good job of not needing the monologue to make it funny. I think that they'll be able to do quick one-liners between the things that keep it funny throughout without taking a lot of time.
Yeah, and those are, I don't like Amy Schumer, but those are inspired hosting choices.
Yes, agreed. And also, three women, two women of color, one queer woman. So I think that's pretty great.
Yeah, and honestly, like, if they're doing multiple hosts, then they should just do it and then just like get super famous people to be the hosts.
Yeah.
As well. And also funny people. Like, I could totally see this as how they could finally get The Rock to do something for them. Because it feels like a natural fit for him to do like the last third maybe in 1 year, and then there's lots of other people that probably would be more willing to be doing this instead of being like, I have to do like 4 hours. That's so much. Whereas,
yes,
like, I can
exactly.
Come in,
well, and also, it always loses energy partway through.
Yeah, because, yeah, it is. Anyway, yeah, that after the Oscars, we don't know what we're doing yet, but we'll do something. We'll figure it out.
We will. We'll always figure it out.
That's a lie.